Hello and welcome. Connie Reagan Green here with another episode of Prestabilious, Excellence in Marketing. Today, the topic is one that's hitting close to home for me. I've written it down as what to do when you don't have time to do anything. So when I came online, it was just me. And so I'm not married. I don't live with any people and had animals. But yet, I was dealing with people, starting to work with people who are extremely busy. And I understood it on some level, but I told myself that it was different for me, because we always think it's different for us. And I told myself that if I had other people that I had to give a lot of time and attention to, such as a spouse or a partner or children, especially under 18, especially even younger, that perhaps I wouldn't do the online business. Perhaps a job was a better fit for me. Well, that was a story I told myself, but until we're wearing those shoes, we don't know if we can walk a mile that way or not. So over the years, my life became a little more complicated, I'll say, with a lot of travel, a lot of things going on. But I do have family, and I have family on two continents. I have family in Europe, in Sweden, Finland, Estonia, and also in the United States, right in California. Everybody, I had people on the East Coast that came back to California once my business was doing well and they could afford to live in California. So with that, having more people, then come more situations. I've also had my own situations. I've had health. I've had injury. I've had a whole lot of things that took up time where I didn't have as much time as I'd had to do the business. But because there are things related to an online business, you can always do something called time shifting, where you do something at an hour of your choosing instead of at a time that's set in stone, such as when I was teaching. I couldn't, show up at school at 11 in the morning and say, I had things I had to do this morning, and I had a couple of appointments, and I decided just to start the school day a little later. I mean, that's hilarious. It just does not work. A ridiculous notion. So even though many people would have loved to have it that way. So when I'm doing things in that way, then I almost don't notice that I'm so busy. Because just like with a TV show that you record, I haven't watched anything live for years. I really haven't. I record 4 shows a week, I think, right now that I love very much. And at this time of year, we're in the spring of 2022 right now, and shows are going into hiatus. So, things that I've recorded a season of, they're at the end, like This Is Us, one of my favorite shows, and it's at the end in the next week or two. So you time shift so that you don't have to see commercials, so that you don't have to watch the show when it's on. You can watch it when you feel like it and when you have time. But that's just part of what I want to talk to you about. What do you do? What do you honestly do when you don't have time to do anything? So my situation right now is I'm caring for a family member who went in originally to have a heart procedure done, which means that, yes, he would be under general anesthesia, but they would go in through the rib cage and they would repair a valve that they saw that was leaking, a leaky heart valve, and he would have been out of surgery in about 90 minutes is what they originally said. And so I took him early in the morning, had to get up at 2 in the morning, leave by 3 to get to the hospital in Los Angeles early enough for him. And I was waiting, and while they were getting him ready, so they had him under general, they do that pretty quickly when they take you into the operating room almost immediately, they called me. And I was surprised. It was a number from the hospital calling. And I thought, wait, don't they know we're here? All these things go into your mind. Well, yes, it was the surgeon himself. And he said, he's under anesthesia now. We went in, and I believe it's called an echocardiogram, where they go down the esophagus to take a better look that they can't see any other way with the heart. And he said his aortic valve is going to rupture. We have to open his chest. We have to do traditional open heart surgery. Do I have your consent? And I kind of froze because this was exactly what my family member didn't want to have. He only wanted to have the minimally invasive procedure, is how they described it. But here they are saying that if they don't do this, he may not live through what they're doing. And even if he does, he would still have to come in within a year, closer to 6 months would be better, and they would have to open his chest and do it that way anyway. So I asked him for 5 minutes. I quickly contacted his son over in Finland, and we talked, and I said, we have to decide. And his son didn't really want to commit, but I said, well, we have to decide. And I told him all the pros and the cons. And he said, all right, if you think this is the best thing. And I said, I think it's the only thing, and we really have to let him know so they have a chance to really save his life and do good work. So he agreed, and I called back and talked to the surgeon and then to the nurse and then to another doctor. And sure enough, they cracked his heart. Well, what that means is instead of a 90-minute procedure, excuse me, it became a 5.5-hour open heart surgery. They called me every 20 to 30 minutes throughout. Different people, nurses, doctors, everyone but the main surgeon. They called me. They kept me informed. They told me what they were doing and what they were planning and all, gave me all these things. And at that point, I had pulled up Google and was looking at pictures of the heart and getting to know the different valves and everything. I was not so familiar with things. People tend to know the aorta and the aortic valve because that's the one that if it ruptures, if something happens, it's a cardiac arrest, it's a massive heart attack, and the person usually does not survive from that. So I was learning, and they were sharing with me, well, by the end of the surgery, when they called me and told me that he was going into the recovery room, I was exhausted just from that because I felt I was with them every step of the way. So while this is all happening, I'm thinking, this is going to be a longer recovery for him. I'm really the main person in the family in California that can help him. I need to make sure I can continue to run my business no matter what, because I've done that for 16 years now, and I didn't want that to change and really can't have that change. I have a lot of people that are depending on me to be there to mentor them, to do various joint ventures and masterminds, all kinds of things. So I started writing some notes, and that's how I start everything. I make some notes with things. And when you're in this position, and hopefully it's not as major a situation as what I'm describing to you here now, it could be something very, very small or something ongoing, like having a family that you're responsible for and to. But you want to focus on your big picture goal or goals. What is it that you want to achieve with the business? What is it? Because I'm talking now about an online business. What are your goals? And you may not be a goal setting and achieving person like I am. I set goals very regularly. I do a 30-day plan that I review weekly. I look at what I've written down from that almost daily, probably 4 or 5 times a week for sure. But if you aren't, I want you to start writing the goals. Thinking about them will never be enough. Lots of studies have been done on this. Instead, I want you to write down, what is your big picture goal or goals? Then you must prioritize if your time is limited. And right now, I certainly understand this more than I have in the 16 years that I've been online. So prioritize. Are you working on a product? Are you creating some content? Do you have something going on with one or more other people that you have committed to that you don't want to break that commitment? How will you prioritize? Ask for help. It's hard for all of us, I believe, and right now I've had to ask for help. I can't do 100% of the caregiving that I intended to do. So I've asked for outside help. And you know what? It feels good when you finally say, when you finally call someone or see them and say, I can't do all of this. I need your help. Will you help me? And when the person says, yes, yes, thank you for asking me. I'd love to help. There's so many people that are really just waiting in the wings. They want us to ask them for help, and we want to be super person. All of us, right? That's one of my goals, being super person. But it really is being it's just a wonderful, wonderful experience. You are being a wonderful, incredible person when you ask others for help, when you allow them into your world, into your life to help you with something. You're honoring them. So I want you to think of it this way. So I've asked people, and you can ask friends, you can ask family, for the online business, ask your virtual assistants. I've done this with two of the people on my team. I've contacted them, and I said, this is something I'm used to doing all the time. I love doing it. I know that you can do it better and faster, and right now I need you to do it. So then they've taken over because this is work that they do. It's how they earn their income, and they're thrilled to help me in a different way than what I usually am having them do things. Also, learn shortcuts. What are some shortcuts that you can do in your business? What's something that you can do faster? So I'll give you an example. I publish on Medium about four times a week right now. And I was up to five times a week, but I've caught up with a lot of my content that was queued up to be syndicated. So now I'm about four times a week. I can do those all at once. I can even have somebody else do it for me. But I decided that I would still do it during this time. And during this time, I'm really looking at probably another 6 to 8 weeks where I'll be the primary caregiver for him. So during that time, I queued up these articles all at once and scheduled them to go out on the days and at the times that I usually would be doing it in real time. And those kinds of things really make a difference. It's all of a sudden you realize you have an hour of time. What can you do during that hour? Don't ever say, gee, I think I'm just going to sit and relax. I don't have anything on my schedule to do right now. No, you don't want to have it that way. Instead, you have a to-do list. I've written and talked about this at length. You have a to-do list that has who knows how many items on it. Those are never to be completed in one day. You then take the things you've written on a to-do list, you move them over to a schedule to be done that day. Again, written down. On a schedule for the day, you're going to have maybe three or four things. That's it. If you include personal things, like a doctor's appointment or a meeting or something like that, maybe you'd have five or six. But for the business, three or four. You don't want more than that. If you find yourself with some extra time, go to your to-do list. Take from there, move it over to your schedule. So you have something else on your schedule because you found that extra time. All right, so when I'm writing my book, this is a good example. I wrote my first book, or when I'm writing my books, I should say, I have about 25 books now. When I was writing the first book, before I even started writing, I went to someone that I was in a mastermind with that I still know, we're still very, very close friends. She's a dear friend, Dr. Jeanette Cates, the tech tamer she was known as for many years. And I said, I would love to write a book, but I just couldn't afford to take away 3 or 4 months from my business, not make any money while I was writing the book. And she said, well, why in the world would you do that? And I said, well, how else do you get a book written? Because I just didn't know. I didn't know any authors. I didn't know any writers. I didn't know people in the publishing arena. And she said, well, you make your outline. You decide, you know, what you're going to write about. And then you write an hour a day. Maybe you do it 7 days a week. Maybe you do it 4 days a week. But you write an hour a day. Then the book will be finished in a few months, and you will have still been able to do your business and your life and everything else. Well, this was a revelation to me. I thanked her profusely, and a few months later, my first book was published, Huge Profits with a Tiny List, 50 Ways to Use Relationship Marketing to Increase Your Bottom Line. You can see all my books at ConnieReaganGreenBooks.com if you want to take a look. But once I realized that, I thought, well, okay. So having my outline, having my bullet points for my chapters and what I wanted in those chapters enabled me to write the book an hour a day. I do it all my books that way now, every single book. And my books tend to be 30 to 40,000 words. So it's not like I'm writing something that's very quick that would be, you know, a 50-page book. Not at all. So think about this. Also, repurpose everything that you do, everything that I write and I read, and I say, and I do, everything gets repurposed into another format. Why? Because our audience, our prospects, our clients, our online community, they consume information in a way that's comfortable for them. For me, I don't watch videos that are training videos for my business. I would prefer to read it. That's just what I like. I like to listen to audio and read along simultaneously. So make sure that you repurpose every single thing you do. That's easy enough for you to do. You take an article that you've written, you turn it into an audio recording. Think of it that way. Also, no matter what, I want you to keep moving forward, one step at a time, keep moving forward. So we've had days, I'm only in the first 2 weeks of this caregiving, and we've had days when there have been minor emergencies, there have been all kinds of things, there have been other people involved, physical therapists, home nurses, all kinds of things, and I have to remember that I can time shift. So I make very few written in stone time commitments right now, very few, not even one a day right now. And I want you to do that same thing if you're at a point where you just don't have the time. And take everything one step at a time. Nothing has to be completed overnight. This isn't a job. It's not a career. It's not a brick-and-mortar business. With those, yes, you would have to do things very, very differently. But you've chosen to be an online entrepreneur, a marketer, a writer, a creator of products and courses and things like that. And all we have to do is take it one step at a time. And again, I'm talking about restraints due to all kinds of things, illness, injury, caregiving, emergencies, disasters. I've been through Hurricane Andrew long ago down in South Florida. I've also been through the Northridge earthquake a year and a half later in Southern California. So I know what that's like. We've all been through and are still going through a pandemic. That slowed people down in many cases. It was as though an emergency had hit them and their household. And all of a sudden they were having lots of thoughts around what life would be like, what they would do instead of doing the work. There will always be something. Big recession. I was online less than 2 years and the recession hit, 2008, 2009. That was very good for my business. It built my business because a lot of people either lost their job or thought they were going to lose their job. And as a result, they wanted to do something online. They wanted to have something where they could call the shots. They could be in control of their income. So those are other things. We'll probably have another recession as a result of everything that's been going on with the pandemic, the real estate bubble. It's a bubble now that will burst as the interest rates go up. I don't want to speak a lot to that. I'm not an expert in that area. I'm still a real estate broker in the state of California, so that's where my knowledge and expertise comes from. But more than likely, before 2023 comes over the horizon, we'll probably be in another recession. And it won't just be in the States and in North America. It'll be global at some point. So no matter what, focus on your big picture goal. Prioritize. Ask for help. Learn shortcuts. Repurpose. Write outlines and bullet points so that when you sit down to write, that you can do it more quickly. Think of what your income-producing activities are. Because with something that's income producing, put that at the top of your priority list. Make that top of your schedule, the three or four things you have on your schedule. Do it that way so you'll get it done. Product creation, same thing. If it's just content creation, let it take a back seat. If you're honestly so busy that you don't have time to do things, don't set goals for yourself that will end up being unrealistic during the time that you're going through things. You know, right now, I've slowed down a little bit on my content creation. It's all right. Because everything that we do prepares us for something that's going to happen in the future. So I always know, and it's not like I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop, that I'm, you know, predicting gloom and doom. No, no, no. Instead, every month when I have the time, when I can do things at my usual pace and I get faster as the years go by, of course, we all do with everything, then I make sure I'm doing optimal output of things like content creation. That way, when there is a situation that takes my time, like it is right now, if I slow down to even half or less than half of what I'm doing, I'll still be producing more content than the average person is producing. So, and remember that quote. I like to share that quote, and that's a quote by me. I don't hear other people even talking about this so much. And here, I'm going to read it to you. Everything we do in our lives is preparing us for something that will arise in the future, even though we don't know yet what that will be. Connie Reagan Green. So teaching in the classroom prepared me for online entrepreneurship in so many ways. Helping others with their writing helped turn me into a best-selling author. There's so many examples. So keep moving. Know that it can be done. Reach out to me anytime. ConnieGreenhouse@yahoo.com is my best personal email address. I want you to reach out to me. Visit my sites. My main site is ConnieReaganGreen.com. Reagan is R-A-G-E-N, green like the color. I also have MondayMorningMellow.com and HugeProfitsTinyList.com. You may say, when I don't have enough time to do everything that I want to do, would I stop posting on one of those three blogs? No. Instead, I would cut down how many posts I would publish and make sure to evenly disperse them. That's the right answer for that. Don't neglect your blogs or your podcast or anything else you're doing or your email list. People want to hear from you. They need to hear from you. You know, we're all in this life thing together. Let's act that way. We're all here. We're all helping each other. Everything that we do affects everyone else. The butterfly effect, the ripple effect, all those things, they make a difference. So again, I'm Connie Reagan Green. You're listening to another episode of Prestidelius, Excellence in Marketing, and I want to hear from you.